Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And in this episode, it's part one of a two-part series with Solomon Wilcots. And we talk about what the Bengals did in free agency, signing the offensive lineman, the tight end that they did. And then we get into the draft. The draft is coming soon. April 28th will be here before you know it. 28th, 29th, and 30th, new additions to the Cincinnati Bengals roster. And we talk about some possibilities. I think you're going to like it. Welcome once again to In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. As always, in our beautiful studios at First Star Logistics, with an outstanding guest this time of year, nobody better, Solomon Wilcots, member of the SWAT team with the Cincinnati Bengals, outstanding safety in the National Football League, and has gone on to another brilliant career in the broadcast side of things, radio, television. Most I love listening to Solly on Sirius XM Radio, NFL Sirius XM Radio. It's good stuff. Always good tidbits, man. Good information. And it was great this week, Solly. You guys had the draft covered like a blanket, man.
Hey, I appreciate it, Dave. There's no doubt. I love the people that I work with at Sirius XM NFL Radio. Of course, you can catch the show, the opening drive, from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. Get to work with guys like Bill Polian. Yeah. A Hall of Fame executive and general manager around the National Football League. A lot of former players, David Deal of the New York Giants, Ed McCaffrey of the world champion Denver Broncos. The list just goes on and on. And so it's a wonderful, enjoyable time. We get to talk about the things we enjoy talking about, and that's NFL football.
There you go. Nothing better. Nothing better. Particularly, you know, the NFL has done such a great job of making itself newsworthy on a year-round basis, you know, not just during the season, but they have so many things that have an interest. It's the number one sport in the United States by far. I mean, it's a 500-pound gorilla in that regard. There's no doubt about that. But free agency is still – it's not completed, but it's winding down, obviously. But the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, in free agency, Solly addressed their major weakness in terms of position on the football team, signing those three offensive linemen, and they also signed a tight end with the loss of C.J. Uzomah going to the New York Jets. What do you think about what the Bengals did in free agency, how they attacked it?
You know, I loved it. I don't think they could have done any better, to be honest with you. The really top offensive linemen, teams weren't going to allow them to hit the free agent market. The Kansas City Chiefs, a guy like Orlando Brown, they used the franchise tag to keep him from hitting. And it just so happened that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they had multiples ready to hit the market. And so we were able to get one of their best guards, one of their best offensive linemen, a guy who wants to protect Tom Brady, is now protecting Joe Burrow. Right. Ted Karras, here's a guy that's been on championship football teams with the New England Patriots. Football is in his family. It's what he does. It's what his family does. And now he comes over, and he's got great, I think, versatility in terms of the ability to play center and play guard. If we were to be fortunate or whatever in the draft to get one of the top centers on the board, you could kick Ted Karras out to guard. Yep. If we get one of the top guards, you could just leave him at center. And then Lyle Collins, that one, I'm going to tell you, I was just sitting there waiting because I had kind of knew the numbers that he would be cost prohibitive for the Cowboys. You love those guys. It kind of like I've been eyeballing James Bradbury with the Giants, just kind of hoping the Giants do us a favor right. And have to release him, because I know Lou Anarumo, I just know the guys would really like him. I think he would fit the Bengals really well. That's a story for another day. But the three offensive linemen we got in free agency, I don't think we could have done any better. And I think it changes our line drastically because the mentality in which they play, which is tough and very physical, I think it's not only going to help Joe Burrow, it's going to help Joe Mixon in the backfield when it comes to our running game. I think we're going to be much improved up front on the offensive line. And listen, Hayden Hurst is a player that I've liked for a long time. I remember he was a first-round pick coming out of South Carolina. And then he got stuck behind Mark Andrews with the Baltimore Ravens, a top-notch first-round pick himself. Then you get stuck behind Kyle Pitts, with the Atlanta Falcons, this guy, I'm telling you right now, I don't care who's playing behind him at tight end. You're not going to see the field because that guy is dynamic. So we end up – that's kind of gotten a little fortunate, a little bit lucky, but we were smart enough to have a plan that when those players became available, we pounced immediately. And the money spent by Mike Brown and the Cincinnati Bengals in free agency, this is unprecedented, yeah. Right? For 3 years in a row, they spent this kind of money. And I guess we got to do it since our quarterback is on a rookie contract. We could go ahead and do that.
No question about it. And, you know, you mentioned the three offensive linemen. Alex Kappa lines up at that right guard position. Karras could play center or left guard, you know, potentially. And then Collins at the right tackle position. And, man, that makes such a huge difference. And when you look at it, I like the way the philosophy the Bengals have had, even in last year's draft. They tripled down, you know, three picks on offensive linemen in last year's draft, three picks on defensive linemen in last year's draft because they had a bounty of picks. They had 10 picks in the draft. But they not only doubled down, they tripled down in places. They go into free agency, triple down, you know, with the offensive line in free agency. So I think that's a good posture to take. You know, in some cases you have to, the way the offensive line was, you know, you need to rebuild the thing and double and triple down. But I like that philosophy. I mean, if you have a need, say, at cornerback, double down in the draft. You know, don't just take one. You know, if you're going to take one in the second, maybe you come back in the fourth and take another one. You like that philosophy, Solly?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a good way to go. You know, for years, you know, Ozzie Newsome was that kind of general manager for the Baltimore Ravens who had always drafted very well. He was about taking the best player available. Right. Even though you may have a need at a position, and sometimes those two things will align. Mm-hmm. But if you really need to get a good player, man, you get one guy that you like, and then you come around and here's another pick, and you see another guy at the same position that you like, and then you make sure that position is not going to be a position, an area of weakness as you move forward. It's hard to hit on draft picks, particularly initially. And if you're outside of the top three rounds, is even more difficult to get a player who's going to be able to contribute day one at that position of need. And so sometimes to be able to get maybe one or two players at that position, as long as all the other areas are of need are filled, I think the ability to double down, as you would say, it all but ensures that you're going to be fine at that position, particularly if you have a rookie and veteran both playing that position.
Right, right. Great point. Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, I want to make sure I get this right, the notes that I took on this, but the NFL obviously is the ultimate copycat league, you know, and you find the Los Angeles Rams, they put all the chips in the middle of the table, and they a lot of draft picks, Matthew Stafford, you know, and you win a Super Bowl. So Denver, Russell Wilson, you know, they do the same thing. They're putting a bunch of chips in with all the draft picks and hoping that Russell Wilson takes them to the Super Bowl. You have Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins, five draft picks for a 28-year-old wide receiver. You know, I mean, everybody now is kind of copying what the Rams did. And it's interesting. This 17 days earlier this week, 17 days before the draft, 17 of the top 50 picks, almost one third, over one third of the top 50 picks had been traded. Now, you got to go back to 20 and 21 combined. There were 17 of the top 50 picks combined in those prior 2 years drafts were traded, but there's already been 17 of the top 50. And I think we might see some more action on draft day and leading up to draft day. Solly, what do you think? Do you think that the NFL now has become, you know, this big trade market?
Absolutely. 100%. You know, as we head into the 2022 draft day, we've got eight teams with multiple picks in the first round.
Yep.
Eight teams with at least two picks in that first round. You go back to even 2 years ago, you know, I thought when Tom Brady left to go over to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and won it in the very first year, which is not very easy to do, to be the quarterback, to enter a room where all 52 guys, the other 52 other guys, they're more familiar than you are with the offense you're going to be running. That was when we were in the middle of a global pandemic. He parachutes in the middle of there and still learns the offense well enough to run it. And then goes on to win a Super Bowl championship at the home stadium. Right. I think it put a lot of teams on notice. And the Rams said, you know what? We think we're good at quarterback. with Jared Goff, but we need to go from good to great. And they go and get Matthew Stafford. They do the same thing and win it in their own home stadium. 2 years in a row, the team changed quarterbacks and then go on to win the Super Bowl trophy in their very first year. And I think we've seen a lot of movement at the quarterback position, teams being uber aggressive and going to get the receiver, to going to get the quarterback, going to get a pass rusher who can stop the quarterback. And then the wide receiver position, we've seen salaries escalate there as teams become uber aggressive and trying to get wide receivers to pair with their great quarterback.
Yeah, there's, and I think, you know, the Bengals may be one on draft day, and I don't think it necessarily happened before the draft, but while they're on the, while teams are on the clock, or maybe when the Bengals are on the clock with that 31st pick, if quarterbacks kind of, not that many quarterbacks go in the top 20 picks, then all of a sudden another one goes as you're approaching pick 30. The Bengals with that 31st selection, if a team says, wow, I got to get my quarterback. I don't think I can wait now to the second round. I want 5 years. I want that fifth year on the rookie contract. I don't want 4 years. I want to lock him up for five. And the only way to do that is to get up into the first round. And this is the guy I like. The Bengals may be fielding some calls for quarterback, or like you say, pass rusher, or wide receiver that has slid. They may be one that can maybe trade back and have another trade with the top 50 pick in this year's draft potentially.
Yeah, I could easily see that happening. These quarterbacks were expected to go right around the bottom of the first round, top of the second round.
Right.
But what happens is they begin to get pushed up all into the first round, maybe a little bit more than what we had thought, because teams want to be able to use a first round pick on getting these quarterbacks. It gives them a little bit more time. Doesn't cost them a whole lot of money in terms of the draft selection itself, but it gives them that fifth year to really determine as to whether or not this young quarterback is going to be able to grow and develop into a frontline player for them. And it adds another year at a much lower price than if you were to take them in the second round. And now through 4 years, you've got to make the big decision earlier to give them the big time contract. So if you can go from the second round and move up to number 32 or 31, where the Bengals are selecting, and then the Bengals got to figure out, okay, do we want to move back and trade out of the first round altogether? That's going to really be determined for the Bengals anyway. If there's one or two players that they really want at 31 overall, and those guys are gone, Dave, that's when you typically would think about trading out of there, when the guys that you felt like was worthy of that pick in the first round, whether it's by position or just the value of the pick and the player. If those guys are gone, then you say, okay, you know what, we're out of here. We eyeballed a couple of guys, or maybe two or three guys, that since they're gone now, we can just move back and gain picks to still fill our position of need in the second round.
Right. No question about it. And I heard you and Bill Polian addressing that that very thing. And I remember hearing Bill Polian this week say, you know, if you're going to trade back, you have to have three. You have three options. He said, because I'll tell you what, if you only have two, they're going to be gone by the
time. They're going to be gone. That's right.
If you get two options, you better not go back more than two spots.
Well, I think it's genius. Listen, I love working with Bill Polian. I think it provides our listeners and even myself with just phenomenal information of understanding the mindset of what's required to move down or move back in the draft, or what's required to move up. Here's a guy that's been there and done that for so many years. Again, the guy's in the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame as an executive and as a general manager, as a talent evaluator. And I get to spend 3 hours a week with him every single week. I feel like I'm having a master's class, and how to build a roster in the NFL.
And his comment about, okay, if you only have one option, you're going to trade back in one guy. In my experiences have shown me 85% of the time that guy's gone. And I thought, wow, 85% of the time. That was an eye-opener, man, or open my ears up, that's for sure. I listened on the radio, and I was like, man, that's pretty unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So you look at it, Solly, and the Bengals, by addressing the offensive line the way they did in free agency, it gave them more freedom. It's not like, oh, no matter what, at 31, you got to stay there. And if you can trade up, go ahead and trade up, because you're deficient at that offensive line position. Now they can sit and say, all right, now I can let my board speak to me again. And if it's if an offensive lineman's the best option, I'll go there. But if a cornerback is, I'll go there. If an edge rush guy is, because we know, Solly, that in this league, you can't have enough guys to cover. I mean, everybody's trying to get the quarterback, like you said.
That's right.
And then the receiver, the compliment. Well, man, you got to figure out a way to hurry that quarterback and cover that receiver, right? You need as many as you can get.
Yeah, I think what we're finding, as I've been talking to people around the National Football League, is that you can never have enough corners. We know that with the multitude of receivers, talented receivers, right? Different body sizes and shapes and speeds and abilities at the wide receiver position. The ability to go man across the board, you're going to need multiple corners. But now we're finding a lot of teams understand that you want multiple pass rushers, not just guys who can come off the edge, Dave, but also guys who can rush from the interior, like an Aaron Donald, who can dominate in the middle of the line of scrimmage. If you can push the pocket and win up the middle, yep, man, it makes everything else easier for the defense. And what we're also finding is that with the pace that the game is often played at, that you can even have good pass rushers, but find yourself, as you get toward the back end of a football game in the fourth quarter, take the divisional round playoff game between the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs as an example. Both teams have good edge rushers, but by the end of that game, it was just 7-on-7. I mean, there was no pass rush because the tempo of the game was so frenetic, so up-tempo and up-paced, that these 290-pound, 300-pound men, they don't have the sustainability. I mean, you know it. Big guys like that, they're not built to run in a marathon, right? And in the NFL, by the time you get into the fourth quarter, into overtime, if it's a real up-tempo game and they're throwing on every single down, the pass rush is going to be negated. So you need multiple pass rushers that you can rotate in and rotate out, keep them fresh, by the time they get to the end of the game, and hopefully they can close it out for you as opposed to wearing down. You go back to a Super Bowl where the Kansas City Chiefs beat the 49ers. For three quarters of the game, Nick Bosa and Buckner and Armstead, they were controlling the fight. Yep. But then Andy Reid went up-tempo on them, and then next thing you know, the 49ers' pass rush was non-existent. And you saw the Chiefs come back and win that game. And so that's how you're finding teams negating the pass rush. You go up-tempo, they have to substitute guys out. And if you don't have someone who can come in off the bench and get after the quarterback, it can really come back to haunt you.
Yeah, that's why, to me, a guy like Karlaftis out of Purdue, the edge guy, I think, you know, there'll be a run on edge rushers. And he's probably in the top five in everybody's, you know, rating of top defensive ends and top 50 players. He's probably in the top five of that position group. I'm not sure that he'd be there at 31, the Bengals, but he might be. And if he is, watching the way he plays, he, to me, is exactly like Hubbard and Hendrickson with the effort, you know, and just doggedly determined, man. He doesn't take any snaps off and all. And if you had him and you could kick Hubbard inside, you know, and like you said, he's closer to the quarterback and he could, you know, pressure the quarterback inside and cause issues at that, you know, three technique as a pass rusher. And and then that last year they drafted Osai and Hubert. And neither one of them gave him a snap, you know, Osai from Texas in the third round. That kid in the first preseason game against the Tampa Bay Bucks, Zach Brady, and it's like, whoa, this kid.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt. But he he's back and he's in the mix. And Hubert, they drafted out of Kansas State, who's kind of an effort guy as well.
He didn't
play much. So, I mean, they're going to have, like you say, numbers of guys that they can evaluate you know, on the edge and rush the passer. And that's a good place to be. I mean, first thing, if you can make the quarterback throw the football because he wants to, before he wants to and throw it because he has to, not because he wants to, you got something.
And I think those two rookies that you mentioned from last year who didn't play much due to injury, there's no doubt that the Bengals are expecting those two guys to really contribute and give them a really good a base of depth on that defensive line. But I agree with you. If one of those guys that we really like is sitting there at 31 and they're interior pass rusher or edge rusher, there's no doubt in my mind I think they could go in that direction. You know, we lost Larry Ogunjobi, And I think that hurt us, but BJ Hill was there. We bring back BJ Hill, but still Ogunjobi is still out there as an unrestricted free agent. But I think the reason why I think we're standing pat is because we expect the two rookie pass rushers to be able to make it back this year and give us some depth. And if we can add one more, I can tell you right now, I'll be elated because it's not lost on me, Dave, that we've got a new guy that's coming to the AFC North Division, and his name is Deshaun Watson. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better have a plan because this guy is as dynamic as any quarterback. He's not a running quarterback. This guy is not. He's a quarterback that can carve you up with his arm. And, oh, by the way, he can run just as good as Lamar Jackson. There is no holes in his game. And so I think a guy like a Sam Hubbard becomes even more valuable. You saw the way that we often used him against Lamar Jackson when we played him.
Yep.
You saw how he played when we had to take away the mobility of Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
I think he becomes even more valuable to the Cincinnati Bengals. So getting another edge rusher so that we can continue to use Sam Hubbard. This is a guy who was a former defensive back, right?
Yeah.
And now he's a true defensive lineman, but he runs so well. He can track the quarterback in space as well as any defensive lineman in the National Football League. And to be able to use him in a myriad of ways, using creativity and versatility, I think are going to be vitally important because the Battle of Ohio is real again. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be must-see TV from here on out.
There's no question. Let me ask you, as a former NFL safety, when you got a quarterback as mobile and as athletic as Watson is, and I agree with you, Sully, he's always got his eyes down the football field. He's looking to attack you by throwing the football, but he can still kill you with his feet. How tough is that? Where it's like, man, if I drop coverage, he's going to throw it over my head. If I stay back, he's going to run, you know. I mean, he puts you in a bind. I mean, it's a catch 22 when a guy has both of those kind of abilities to that level, doesn't he?
Kind of like a John Elway back in the day, like a Steve Young. These are the guys that can make all the throws. Deshaun Watson can make all the throws. It's equal to Patrick Mahomes, okay? This is the guy that when he was at Clemson, he was the one that they built that program around. He raised the level of play for the entire institution. And then next thing you know, they're winning multiple championships no matter who's there. But he was the guy that they built it around. He was able to beat a Nick Saban in a championship game. He can do everything that you need to do. But, oh, by the way, he can run better than Patrick Mahomes. He can run better. He can run as well as Lamar Jackson again and throw it as well as any of the top five quarterbacks that you want to fill in the list. He is that good. I just hope he's a little rusty after taking a year off, right? And I hope that we have the goods. But this guy is going to change things now, and we've got to be ready to do battle. We've got to be ready to match up with Deshaun Watson and Cleveland Browns because that game is probably going to be our toughest game within the division. That's saying a lot because Pittsburgh and Baltimore are always difficult, but the Browns have made themselves that much better. But I think defensively, we're going to be able to handle it. I think Sam Hubbard, in the way that we use him, right, rush the quarterback to contain him, and then as a delayed rusher, someone who can really track the quarterback with great closing speed as a defensive lineman without having to waste one of your linebackers, Sam Hubbard is that guy.
Yeah, I mean, when they utilized him as a spy, you know, as a linebacker position, a spy with the size of a defensive end, and he was mirroring Mahomes and deciding when to press. That was big time. I mean, that's like ultimate in versatility, you know. That's
absolutely
like you said, he started out as a safety at Moeller and then, you know, grew and linebacker and grew and he defensive lineman and goes to Ohio State and the rest is history. But you know, I guess that's why Cleveland paid Watson all that money and guaranteed every bit of it as well. I mean, he's a definite freak in that regard.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
you gotta got to get that body right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out firststarlogistics.com.